Linda, and I want to thank you all for your prayers for us this week. Even though it's been a very uneventful week, we haven't had anything going on at all. But nonetheless, thanks for your prayers. I think we had enough in 7 days to last us 4 or 5 years. But thankfully, the wedding weekend finished last night, and the Lord helped us in seeing our son Philip married, and so we're grateful for the grace that we found in that. Linda's still mopping up, metaphorically speaking, all the wedding weekend stuff, packing, and all that goes with mothers and weddings have to do. There's far more than us men ever realize. So she's having to be given to that today to finish in Fort Worth. So she's in her love. And so we're very thankful to be here today. And so, well, I would like for us to read from Colossians 3. Four verses. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. And as we read this, I want you to think about this, not so much just in the context of our individual responsibilities that it calls us to, vertically as far as us and God, you know, because think about it. One thing in here it calls us to is to deal with quarreling. Well, who among us, except a lost person, ever quarrels with God? Have you quarreled with God lately? That's a losing battle, isn't it? You don't win that quarrel. Or what about forgiving others? Well, when do we ever need to forgive the Lord? So this stuff isn't vertical. This stuff is horizontal. And so when we think about these admonitions, we ought to especially think about them in the context of our relationships with the brethren, particularly in our own church. So let's read 12 through 15. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels, or a full heart of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Father, we are dependent upon you to speak so as to make your word profitable and beneficial and heart-changing and life-changing. So right now, blessed Holy Spirit, we ask you to take your word and do that invisible and wonderful and mysterious and life-giving work of blessing your word to our hearts, speaking to us, speaking through us. And Father, cause your word to produce fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to do exposition of this passage today, but rather just give an exhortation and an encouragement to each of us to prod us, to poke us a little bit toward maintenance You know, whether with a car or a house or a lawnmower, if you don't have maintenance, what's going to happen? It's obvious, isn't it? If, ladies, if you don't maintain laundry after about, what, how many days? You got a bigger problem. Two days, someone says. Maintenance. Got to have maintenance. Well, you know what? One of the most important areas for us as Christians is maintenance of relationships. Particularly within a church body. Now, let me ask you this question. Which is more important for you to maintain a right relationship with and be loving toward, let's say, John Piper or those gathered here today? Which is more important? Why? Aren't you to love John Piper and maintain a right attitude toward him? Yeah, but why is here more important? Because it's here the brethren in our church or the Christians who have church relationships within a body, it's more important and more challenging. Why? Because it's them you live with, walk with, relate to, worship with, daily, weekly, year after year. And all the more reason that we have to maintain right relationships. That we must make sure, as the New Testament would call us to, that every single relationship in the body, whether individual, sister to sister, brother to brother, couple to couple, individual person toward a couple, every relationship must be maintained as being right and clear. Now, a lost person doesn't care about this. They find fault. They, in their hearts, they criticize. They easily take offense. And they blame everybody else. It's their fault. They didn't look right, proper toward me. They didn't speak to me right. What he said, what she said offended me. It's their fault. Unbelievers, in their hearts, evidence their lostness by not having any desire or concern about maintaining right relationships. They can take offense by the busload and pack it away and have an unforgiving heart. But believers don't do that. Believers maintain relationships because God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit of sonship. And so that Spirit of sonship is in every believer, so we sense family. We sense relationship. We do care about each other. We're growing in that. We grow in maintenance. But we have the responsibility to maintain relationships. So, and it becomes hard in a church. You know, it's easy to see brothers or sisters or people that you know at a conference. You've known them a while. You haven't seen them in a while. Or you meet them for the first time. You just hit it off great with them. It's easy to love them, isn't it? We're together a weekend, it's fun, they're gone. That's no big deal. You know, sinners meet at conferences, whether it's a business conference or whatever, and they enjoy, pat each other back, express appreciation, they're gone. But even, say you go on a mission trip, or you go with brothers to an outreach. You go to Romania. And you love the people there. And the guys you travel with for the 10 days or 2 weeks, you enjoy each other. But even on a short period of time like that, things can happen where you rub each other the wrong way. But you're working together, and then you hop on a plane, they hop on theirs, and go home, everybody leaves. It's easy to love in that setting. And you think, you know, you're accomplishing something really holy by liking each other and getting along. There's nothing to that. It's here in our own church, a year, 10 years, 30 years, the longevity of living out relationships, that it becomes more difficult. Why? Because we rub on each other. We get used to each other. We disappoint each other. We offend with words sometimes, or we offend cause offense even unknowingly by sins of omission or negligence. We disappoint, we hurt each other, and at times we fail one another, and we even can sin against each other. We can act harsh in situations where we don't necessarily mean to. We can be unloving and not know it. We can be judgmental and not realize it. We can be negligent. We can even be unfriendly. And settle in, and so the lifelong relationship of the church, relationships settle in. And in your heart and mind, you kind of develop this atmosphere of, if you admitted it to yourself, I'm closer to these people than these in the body, and I'm not as close to these because we don't have as much in common. So you can even develop, without even realize it, a spiritual clique where you spend your main time with a few and not spread out your love with others. Don't let that happen. And it's easy for us to settle in and to even have this culture in our own lives of, these brethren I love, but, you know, we're not as close, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's natural for that to be that way. But some we kind of could just tend to tolerate because we might be so different and we don't feel as much of a connection. So these I'm close to, these I tolerate. That can kind of develop within the minds and hearts of believers within a church. But think of this. If we are called to love all, each one of us are called to love everybody. And that means in our heart we want the best for them, we desire the best for them, we would do what we need to do to help them. We are to love one another. If we're called to love all, then here's the test. How can I know if I am loving someone in the body or not? How can you know that? It's easy to say, yeah, I love him, I love them. It's easy to say I love everybody in the church. But what shows me if present real love is happening in me toward others or not? What shows me that? Here's the answer. How is my relationship with every brother or sister in the body, with every couple? Now, what I mean is, it doesn't mean you have as deep a friendship with everyone as with some. There's a closer relationship with some than with others. And some relationships have been more short-term and they're growing. Other relationships have been 20, 30 years. So the issue is not closeness. The issue is this. Is my relationship right with every brother or sister in the body? Is my relationship current and good and unbroken, and there's no problems with every brother or sister or every family in the church? Or has something damaged the relationship? Has something alienated? Has something broken a relationship? And do I presently have an unhealed or unhealthy relationship within the body? Is there a relationship I have been neglecting, or even because of some offense, avoiding? It's easy for that to happen. It's easy for things to happen, and maintenance is not occurring. But on anything, any mechanical thing, there's often a statement on the instruction booklet or on the box, maintenance required, right? Well, listen, there's nothing more important in after marriage and family than maintenance required in body relationships in a church. This very area has destroyed churches. This very area has damaged things. This very area, when people get offended, you know what happens? Rather than maintain the relationship and to walk in their responsibility, they choose to leave a church because a relationship's been damaged. And Christ is not honored when that happens. So, looking back in Colossians 3, think about this. Let's just read it again and think of it in the context of every relationship within the body that we have. Mercy, showing mercy. Exhibiting kindness. Functioning in relation with each other in humility of mind. Do I think I'm better than someone? Do I think I'm more spiritual than someone? Do I in any way look down upon someone else as being less than me? Humility of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. That simply means putting up with each other over the long haul. With our idiosyncrasies and our differences and our quirks and our personalities and all that goes with it. And how we see each other deal with our children. Long-suffering. How important is that? And then it says forbearing with one another, putting up with each other, and forgiving each other. You get offended at me, I get offended at you, I get hurt, get my feelings hurt, and we take offense. What's the first thing that we have to do? Not blame them. Just take that offense like a feather, throw it up to the Lord in the air, and ask the breeze of God's grace to blow it away. Lord, I release that. I'm not going to hold on to that. I forgive them. And you didn't even have to tell them. Unless there was something tangible, you know, that you got to go to them about. But sometimes the offense is just in our minds. And we just take it. We get offended. And they didn't mean anything. They hadn't sinned. But we have to release it. Forgiving one another, it says. And in the context of this, even more importantly, if anyone has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, have what? Love. Lovingly preferring one another. So the issue is not closeness, but the issue is, are my relationships within the body right? Are there anything between you and me, between a brother and a sister, between us, that is not right? You know, I was able to say to the church there in Kirksville last week, I just kind of gave a testimony and I said, you know, God has given our church such sweetness of spirit and grace that I said, it's a joy to go every Sunday and every Wednesday and to see the brethren and to be able to look at every brother or sister in the eye and to say, I know the air is clear. I know the relationship's good. I know the love is there. And there is no offense between me and any of the brothers or sisters that I know in the body. The air is clear. The relationships are right. It ought to be that way. You know you're walking in love when every relationship, as far as your heart, is right. Is clear. Is fresh. You don't have to agree on all things. You don't have to have the same opinions or preferences. Different Bible translations, that's not an issue. Do you have to have the same views of homeschooling? No. But you do have to truly be walking in love toward each other. We have to have a current, right relationship that where we make sure in every relationship I have within the body, as far as I know, there's nothing broken. There's nothing that needs to be mended. There's no wounds. There's no alienation. There's no damage. And if you know of something, guess what? Maintenance required. And who's that fall on? Don't come to me and say, Mac, I got a problem with Mike. Would you fix this? No. Now you might need counsel and saying, I feel this, give me some counsel on how to fix it. But it's on you and I to fix it. We've got to fix it. We've got to mend it. And if we won't, if there's a willful refusal, guess what? We stop walking in love. don't talk about theology anymore. Don't talk about what you've read. Don't talk about anything. Because you've stopped loving the brethren when you won't make something right that you know is there. Get it right. Why? Well, because as a Christian, I am not loving others. I'm not loving the person if I have an issue and I refuse to make it right. And all kind of excuses can arise in our minds. Well, it'll probably take care of itself. No, it won't. Well, it'll probably create more problems than it'll fix. No, it won't. Well, you know, there's been too much time pass about this. No, there hasn't. Too much difference between me and that person. No, there's not. Now, maybe I left out some excuse you might come up with. So, the issue is, excuses are excuses and they're inexcusable when we won't deal with maintaining right relationships. The reason some true Christians won't get their relationships right and maintain them is probably three reasons. Number one, for some people it's too scary. They're scared to do it. You might just have fear about it. Well, I just can't go to them. I'm afraid of what they might think. I'm afraid of how they'll feel. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. So it's too scary. Or the second thing is you feel like it'd be too painful. It's just too painful to go through that. You know, it'll make me too uncomfortable. And it'll hurt too much to have to go talk to them. Too scary, too painful, or you know what the main reason often is? If I won't go to someone, it often is because I'm just too proud to do it. Fear, too painful, or pride. Those things keep us from getting the healing we need in relationships. Now, about 5 years ago, right before Christmas, on a Sunday night, we had a little fire in the kitchen, and I didn't handle it well. And I got second-degree burns on my hands and arms. And so Krista Neely brought over all this snake oil ointment, for lack of a better term. It's good stuff. And I put that stuff on those burns, and the more I put on it daily, the better it felt. So I didn't go to the doctor, but you know what happened? In about 5 days, I had blisters that were about an inch tall all over my hands in different places here. And so finally, it was getting increasingly uncomfortable. And so Linda took me to the doctor, and the doctor looked at me and said, "What were you thinking? Why haven't you been to have this treated yet?" And so he sent me down to Parkland Hospital. Linda took me. And so this young doctor came in. He said, "Well," he said, "let's treat this." So they gave me some morphine. And he said, "Now here's what we have to do. We have to cut all the dead skin off every one of them. And then I'm going to pour this antiseptic soap in them. And these tiny little brushes with these little bristles, I have to scrub every burn." And I said, "Really?" And I kind of got queasy in my stomach. And so they made sure I had all the morphine they could give me, I think, legally. And so he starts in on it. And it was pretty bad. It was pretty excruciating. But right after that, they put that white cream in there that they deal with burns. And immediately, permanently, all the pain and discomfort was gone. And I don't have a single scar today. Linda took me to dinner, and we had a just wonderful time. You know what you realize? You realize that if you won't face dealing with something, it won't get healed. if you and I don't realize that the pain and seriousness of not dealing with something is so important, then things will not get healed that need to be healed. The pain and seriousness of not dealing with it became greater than facing it and facing the issue and letting it be treated. Immediate relief was there. The pain was gone. And a week's agony was over. And there was nothing but healing, healing, healing. And I was so thankful. And then I looked back and I said to myself, why was I so brilliant to let 3 or 4 days go by? Well, if there's a wrong relationship, there's got to be healing. Why? Because things have not been dealt with. How serious and important is it? If loving is Christ, love is important. If a clear conscience and a good testimony and a healthy relationship with the church and our own individual example, if those things are important, then making sure relationships are right is vitally important. Every relationship right and none wrong. So here's a question we ought to examine ourselves with. How serious do I view my relationship with every brother and sister and family within the church? How seriously do I view my relationship with them? Do I see the New Testament calls me to love each one and maintain right relationships with each and walk in humility and love and meekness with every single person in the body? It's on me to maintain it. It's on me to fix it if it's broken. Don't expect others to do it. You and I are to do it. If you go to the altar and there remember what? That your brother has ought against you. You leave your gift at the altar and you go be reconciled. It's not on them, it's on me. It's not on them, it's on you. So, how serious do we view our relationships within the body? Today, can I say before God and with a clear conscience, mine are good? Today, can I say, I don't know of anything that's unresolved? Or do I have some maintenance to take care of? When relationships are not right, then we're not walking in love. We are not obeying Christ. We're hurting ourselves. We're hurting our church. We're not honoring the Lord when relationships are not right. And we are grieving the Holy Spirit. If He has poured out the Spirit of His Son in our hearts, and I'm a son, you're a son, I'm a brother, you're a sister, and I'm not right with you, then we're grieving the Holy Spirit who dwells in both of us. Every prompting from Him about a relationship being right that we neglect or we resist, we're quenching the Spirit who's leading us to make it right and to be right. And we are leaving the unhealed relationship still unhealed. We are leaving the burn untreated. And you know what will happen? You just leave something untreated, bad, and infection, or worse, gangrene, or whatever else will set in. When relationships are not right, you know what we do? We drift apart in that relationship. And we simply tolerate or we even avoid them. And we stop lovingly relating to one another. We stop dealing with hindrances. And we are not doing that which makes for peace if we won't maintain relationship. And a problem, if there's a problem between two sisters or two brothers, the problem's not going away. It's there. And the longer it's there, the bigger it gets. Until it's the elephant in the room and you're not even talking about it. You won't even admit it's there. Why won't you get it right if there is something? Why won't today, won't you make the call or go see that person or step aside? You be the leader. You be the example. You be the one to say, hey, listen, I want you to know I love you and I took offense at this or I was hurt by this and it's not you, it was me. I'm sorry, I love you. I want to walk together in love. This is maintenance of relationships. God has put that upon us. Here's another question. If there is anything that's an issue with you and another person, do you really want to neglect and leave that relationship unhealed? Do you want that? Do you really want more days or weeks or months to pass and there's no change? When relationships aren't right, we're not right with Christ. But the positive is wonderful. When relationships are right, because you are maintaining them, and they must be maintained. Doesn't a marriage have to be maintained, you married men? I said in my son's wedding last night, weddings and honeymoons are easy. Marriage is work. It is work. Well, you know what? There is work in maintaining the relationships we have in the body of Christ. It's work. You're called to it. The road signs, men at work. In the church, those ought to be out. Ladies at work. Families at work. We must maintain relationships. Mike and I have been close friends for how many years? We don't know. Yeah. And we've always worked at maintaining our... I've offended him, and he'll tell me. And I'll say, I'm sorry, brother, and he forgives me. Sometimes it's the other way around. That's part of why we're close friends. And so, when we maintain relationships, we give attention to them to fix them. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, that hymn says, but also we ought to be able to say, nothing between my soul and my brother or my sister. When things are right, love is real and active and fresh. There's no barriers. You could call up any brother or any couple in the church and say, hey, we want to be with y'all this Friday. Let's have lunch. Let's have dinner. Come over. Let's watch a movie. No tensions, no conflict. Healthy relationships. Do I know before the Lord? Do you know before the Lord? Every relationship is healthy as far as I know. That's vital for us to know. So, if we know that they're not, what are we to do? Well, Matthew 18:15 says, if someone's wronged you, or if you think they have, if you perceive they have, maybe it was actual commission against you. Or maybe they didn't even know. Or maybe it wasn't anything that truly was wrong and you just took offense. If someone's wrong with you, you go and tell him. I think she's under conviction. She's crying out. If something's wrong in a relationship, it says, Matthew 18, if someone's wronged you, you go to them and tell them. Now that's delicate, isn't it? That's scary, isn't it? So what do? You go do it. And you're not, your attitude and your motive is all important. You go to them and you say, listen, I have felt like that this was wrong between us. And I'm not saying you've sinned. All I'm saying is I felt like this has tried to come between us and I don't want that. I want to clear the air. I want you to know I'm committed to you as a brother. I love you, and I want things to be right. Just clear the air. That's what you have to do. You go. If he listens, now Matthew 18 says this, you go if he what? Listens. So when somebody comes to you and they bring something, what are you to do? Don't start talking. Don't get defensive. Don't let your mind start thinking of your answer. Shut your brain down from planning your talk and listen. Really hear them. Hear them. That's the way you build that bridge. You hear them. And the goal is you've gained your brother. Go tell him, and if he listens, you've gained your brother. You see that? Mark 11 says, when you stand praying, forgive. You go to prayer and you remember that there's something that you've been offended with somebody. You have an issue with them. You have a maintenance issue. Just forgive right then. They may not know it, and you may not even need to talk to them. Just forgive them. Lord, I forgive them. I'm clearing that. I'm releasing that to you. I'm not holding that against them in any way. I forgive them. They owe me nothing. The account is clear. When you stand praying, forgive. Now, Matthew 5, I quoted it earlier. If you come and you're offering your gift, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, stop your worship. Go and be reconciled to your brother. And then come worship. In other words, Jesus always places it on us, not the others, people. He always places it on us individually. You maintain it. You be vigilant and diligent to maintain every relationship. Why? So you can have a clear conscience before the Lord, and so relationships can be fresh and real and loving and nothing wrong. It is all on me and you. When a relationship's not right, here's the bottom line question. Will I fix it? Will I do all that is possible within me to make sure it's right? What are we forfeiting if we won't do that? We're forfeiting a lot. What are we gaining if we do maintain? We're gaining a lot. It's for our benefit spiritually. It's for our brother's benefit. It's for the health of the church. It's for the honor of Christ. Every single relationship maintained right. And as you do, the fellowship grows sweeter. The Holy Spirit has more opportunity to truly work because He's not grieved. He's not quenched. He knows that this is it's a mystery, isn't it, that the Holy Spirit can be quenched and grieved and resisted? Yeah, He can. But when He sees brethren maintaining relationships and walking in love together, He's attracted to come and work more and pour out. Remember what the Psalms say? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together, how? In unity. It's like the dew that comes down on Mount Hermon. It's like the anointing oil that comes down upon Aaron's beard and robes and flows out. For there the Lord commands the blessing where relationships are right and where brethren dwell together in love and in unity. So here's the exhortation. Here's the prod today. Make sure, as much as it depends on you, that every relationship within the body is freshly maintained, and you will be a vessel and a channel of grace and love to all your brethren continually. Even when you're aware of it, and even when you're not even conscious of it, your life will be a channel of blessing when every relationship is maintained rightly. Maintenance required. Let's do it, brethren. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words in Paul to the Colossians about how important it is for us to relate rightly to the brethren and to all those in the household of faith. Lord, it is right for my attitude and my heart to be one of love toward somebody across the sea or across the country that I never see. But Lord, how much more important is it for me with the brethren that I walk with, that I worship with? How much more important is, Lord, for every relationship to be right? Help us to guard our hearts. Help us to do due diligence in this area. Help us to maintain our relationships in love, in forgiveness, in long-suffering, in kindness, in forbearing, in forgiving. Lord, that You might have Your way freely through us at all times. Bless us, Lord, with this reality. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.